Zorn, the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
Oh, I love the lute. Don't you?
On the lute.
On the lute. Is there any more beautiful instrument than the lute?
Wasn't that? I know it was a Chicago radio station, wasn't it?
Yeah, the lute.
The lute FM?
All lute music all the time.
I'm wearing my lute shirt today.
Eric Zorn joins us. Fine, fine columnist for your Chicago Tribune.
I'm the greatest father that ever was born.
Greatest father that was ever born.
We might have to change that.
I don't know why.
If you wouldn't mind, Eric, the Rod Blagojevich story has taken another twist in the last couple of hours.
Why won't anyone give him the get-out-of-jail free card?
Or you might better say it didn't take another twist. The Supreme Court rejected his what really has to amount to his final appeal to overturn his convictions. Basically, they wanted the court to look at the laws under which he was convicted and say these are too confusing, this is not right.
He's in there for too long of a sentence.
The convictions are based on an understanding of bribery and official misconduct that his lawyers think, and some people argue, are first of all inconsistent and also are too, you have a system in politics that's kind of greasy anyway, right? People are giving money, expecting favors, and so on. Blagojevich crossed way over that line in when he was soliciting contributions for official actions. But the question was, did he actually cross the line? Should that line be moved? And then the question that you raise, Wendy, which I think is a better one, which is his sentence way too long? And it's 14 years.
He served five out of the 14?
He served about half.
Is it that much? Yeah.
When did he go in? We could probably look this up. It was right around this time, like I said, I think like 5, 6, 7 years ago, something like that. It was a long time. I feel really bad for his kids,
that
his daughters.
Too.
His daughters just completely don't deserve this. They lost their father. I blame him for a lot of that. I think that 14 years is too long.
But can't you say that about almost anybody who's ever committed any crime?
Yes,
their family is going to be without that man or woman.
Yeah, but some crimes are way worse than others, obviously.
Without a doubt.
Well, this was a major betrayal of the public trust that he engaged in. I was certainly thought that his conviction was justified and satisfying.
He's going to be released in 2024.
And his daughters are going to all be grown up. And in the Chicago Magazine article from it was about a year ago, apparently his relationship with them is very strained because of this. And it's pretty difficult to talk to him and so on. You're right. Any criminal commits crime. It's part of the price of crime is that you're going to harm not just yourself but your family. It's something people should think about before they commit crimes. That you're going to you're not the only victim if you're caught.
Yeah.
But I guess the question is, you look at George Ryan's sentence, which was I think 6.5 years, and he served five of it or something like that.
But they also with George Ryan kept saying, his heart on his wife. She's been sick and stuff. We should really get him out early so he can spend time with his wife.
She died. Yeah, she did.
She died while he was in prison.
Yeah. He had to go to the funeral.
Dan Webb, his attorney, was saying, Your Honor, a 6-year sentence is a death sentence for Mr. Ryan because he's so ill. Well,
so he's still around?
He's still alive, yeah. This is a typical thing that an attorney will say. I feel, as a citizen of Illinois, I feel satisfied by the amount of time that that former Governor Blagojevich has served in prison. I'll be annoyed beyond words when he gets out and starts chirping about his innocence and how unfair this all was. I've said to people before, it's like, if he would just take a deal that he will get out of prison and he'll move to Omaha and not say another word, I'll be okay.
2011 he went in.
2011, so we're talking 7 years then.
Wow.
7 years ago, and it was this month, right? Or last month? It was springtime.
I don't know the answer to that. What about this, though? So, we live in a world where if you're famous, they tend to be a little more lenient on your sentences, oftentimes not convicting the person whatsoever if you have a little bit of name recognition, facial recognition. With Rod Blagojevich, it almost worked against him, didn't it?
Well, one of the things that he did wrong or the mistake that he made was going and campaigning for himself in New York, going on all these TV shows talking about how unfair this was and how innocent he was and how mean the prosecutors were.
That was bad.
It was just really poor public relations. If he had, after he was arrested, said, busted, you got me here, let's talk, he'd be out by now. He'd have been out
People
years
forgive
ago.
You when you admit to making a mistake, don't they?
They do.
More and, so than lying.
And I think he had the opportunity to cut himself a deal and did not take it. And so, you know, he decided he was going to fight the feds. And it was a really bad idea. Patrick Fitzgerald had like a 90% conviction rate. And with those tapes all arrayed against him, it just wasn't a smart bet. He lost the first trial. I don't know if after the, or I'm sorry, he didn't lose the first trial. The first trial was hung. Remember, the one juror wouldn't vote to convict, so they had to go back and do the second trial. I don't know that he had a chance between trials to cut a deal. I expect that he did. The government is almost always trying to offer people deals so they don't have to go through the bother of a trial.
Help me with this, because I don't remember the exact way this played out. Didn't Donald Trump take a liking to him and invite him to be on The Apprentice, and then his wife filled in for him? Didn't that happen?
He was on Celebrity Apprentice.
He was on that?
Yes, he was.
His wife did I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Remember that show
that
where they had to eat bugs and stuff?
All right, so there's some relationship between Donald Trump and Rod Blagojevich. Could the president just throw a pardon?
It's a federal conviction. Yes, the president
can
throw a conviction. Well,
no,
he's in a pardoning frame of mind. You know, he pardoned Scooter Libby the other day.
Can you just pardon any time? Usually it's at the end of your term.
A president can pardon on federal charges anytime. He can't get into, you know, state convictions and so on. But
what about traffic court?
On federal charges. Yes, and I know I've written to him so many times. No, any federal charges. Donald Trump tomorrow could pardon or commute the sentence.
Wouldn't that be more like it?
Yeah, unfired.
I could see him commuting the sentence because he has a personal relationship. And I think Trump wants to send a message, the same message that he sent with the Scooter Libby pardon, which is, I will pardon you. I will pardon people. I have this power. Fitzgerald was fairly annoyed by the pardon of Scooter Libby,
sure.
and made a statement that's uncharacteristic of him to say anything about that kind of stuff. But, you know, Scooter Libby was a liar and a leaker, and he was convicted, and Trump just said, you know, so anyone else who wants to lie and leak, maybe I'll pardon you too.
But Trump loves leaks if this Russian tape
is true. By the way, I have to correct myself. In 2011, Blagojevich was sentenced to 14 years and began serving that term in 2012.
So it's been six years since he's gone in. Again, that seems like enough of a pound of flesh, given the other humiliations that he suffered and so on. Every time I post about this online or write about it, I get, you know, really strongly conflicting opinions from people, and it doesn't seem to be based on any partisanship. It's not like liberals feel one way, conservatives feel another.
But aren't you? I'm one guy, and I'm conflicted because I understand the importance of him not being able to spend any lifetime with his children. That's horrible. But I'm also of the belief that if you commit a crime, you pay the price.
And come on, you were the governor of Illinois,
right?
And you had the trust of.
Right.
The electorate, and you had this opportunity to, you know, do the right thing, and you didn't do it.
Yeah,
and that's a big betrayal. So
it's a huge betrayal.
So when you're talking about it magnifies the offense when you have been elevated like that.
Yep,
you
no
have
question.
That kind of responsibility.
No question.
So it's a tough call.
That's Eric Zorn from the Chicago Tribune. We'll pick this up next. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200 is our number. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
We've got Eric Zorn in the studio with us.
Eric Zorn is here in the studio. Eric, we wanted to talk about what's going on with Starbucks. This is a crazy story.
Yeah, it's a crazy story. It was last Thursday in Philadelphia Starbucks. These two African-American men came in, and they were going to be meeting somebody there for coffee.
Yeah.
And they got there, they sat down, and they wouldn't leave. I guess somebody asked them to leave, maybe. I'm not exactly sure of the TikTok on this, but in any case, the manager of the store called the police, and the police came and arrested these guys. No charges were filed. They were released, and Starbucks has fired the manager who called 911 on them. But the question is not whether this is wrong and disturbing, because it clearly is. It clearly looks like these guys were profiled. People come into Starbucks and coffee shops all the time, and they're waiting for somebody, right? Or they want to use the bathroom.
People have that be their office.
People hang out at Starbucks. It's an interesting and kind of odd business model in a way. Like, there are a lot of places where I've been where you can get free Wi-Fi, but only for like half an hour, and then you got to go up to the desk to the counter and
get a code.
And they discourage you from. I mean, they want it for customers. I understand that, but they don't want people to make it into their office. But the fact that they singled out these African American men really looks to me, to most people, like this was just racial profiling.
The charge here was loitering, or what?
I don't even know. I don't think they were charged at all. They were arrested and released. A lack of evidence that any kind of crime was committed. I mean, I suppose it would be trespassing or something if you are asked to leave a place of business and you don't leave.
Right.
And these guys apparently were not causing any disturbance at all. They were just sitting there, and they were in fact waiting for somebody who showed up, I guess, while they were being dragged out in handcuffs. People are justifiably outraged by this and concerned by it. But the question that comes up is, what does the customer do about it? What does the public do about it? There have been demonstrations outside the Starbucks and so on. People have been calling for boycotts of Starbucks. And given that this is not something that you hear about all the time at Starbucks restaurants and coffee shops, and as far as I can tell, it's not a pattern. That this was more a problem with this one employee who overreacted.
This is a predominantly white neighborhood, is it?
I don't know the neighborhood, but the police, apparently the police chief has said that his guys were justified because they were called in to address the situation, and then it escalated, and they took them out. I don't know if people are that upset with the police here so much as they are with Starbucks. To my mind, Starbucks has been handling it as well as it can in the aftermath. It's a PR nightmare. You fire the manager,
and
I think you need to restate or recreate your corporate policy about this stuff. Under what situations can someone sit at a table in Starbucks? Under what situations can they use the restroom? All the kind of things that come up at these places that people come and hang out, and make as sure as you possibly can that these standards and principles are applied evenly for the races. Obviously,
of course.
If Starbucks reacts this way, and I assume that they are, then it seems like this is something that ought to pass as a reminder of this being a problem in our society, but not something that causes us to stop going to Starbucks or to make any more of it than it is.
Yeah.
But it's with these kind of instances, very interesting situation, and a lot of people have a lot of different opinions about it.
So they did fire the man. I don't know that the manager was the one who initiated a call to police.
I think it was the manager. I think it was the one who called 911.
Yeah.
They've been relieved of their duties. Yeah. Which, that seems like, what would you want a company to do in that situation other than to make sure it doesn't happen again and to discipline the employee who and this is all we know about it. It does bring up the sort of the larger question about people who use these places as their office, and they come in and they take tables. And I've certainly gone to some of these places sometimes to try to meet somebody for coffee. And
you can't.
And you can't sit down because there's all these people with their laptops.
I know.
But again, that's Starbucks' choice, right? Or Pete's, or any place you go like this. It's their choice to have this for people. And if that's their business model, then, there are certainly times where I've said, well, we probably shouldn't try to meet at Starbucks because we'll never get a seat. So,
Eric, there's an update that you can't possibly know because it's just happened in the last 10 or 15 minutes. But the CEO of Starbucks says that they hope to meet with the men that were arrested in the shop in Philadelphia and hopefully make things right.
Give them a gift card.
I wonder, you don't want to insult them by saying we hope to win you back over with a gift card,
No, they should.
Invariably, that's going to happen.
This is crisis management, right? You don't defend yourself on something like that. You say this was unacceptable to us,
right?
And we apologize without reservation to these guys.
Without insulting them further, how do you make this up? Is there a dollar amount you can do so everybody goes, yeah, that seems fair? Or is it too much of an insult to even say that?
I imagine that the lawyers might be talking at this point. I don't know that these men have come out in public, and I don't know, what they will. I don't know what kind of legal case they would have. I mean, this looks bad. I don't know that it violates any laws, any civil rights. It would be a very complicated case. You might actually see them offering some sort of a settlement to these guys before any lawsuits are filed. Like, can we put this behind us?
They should.
Kevin Johnson, the CEO of Starbucks, was on Good Morning America earlier this morning, called what happened the arrest reprehensible and hopes to meet with the men as soon as possible.
Yeah, I mean, that's
so that's what you do.
This is the resolution. This is, yeah, these, yeah, too many companies, you know, fight back, try to justify what happened. They say, no, right, this happened. This was not part of, this is not our policy. We apologize.
We screwed up.
Yeah, I mean, just to throw yourself on the mercy of the court of public opinion, which seems like the right thing to do.
Eric, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
That's Eric Zorn. You can read him in the Chicago Tribune. He does a fine, fine job there. We'll find out what Steve Bertrand has on the Wintrust Business Lunch next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.